it was such an interesting thing to reflect on of like, man, you really got to make it count. And it tied into my whole point before about the Casper method, about building a portfolio that works for you, because I don't want to miss those moments and I don't want to have those regrets as I get older.
What's up, everybody? My name is Mike Shogren, here with my co-host,
Emmanuel Pani.
We're part of a group of specialized real estate investors you've probably never heard of.
We didn't start with deep pockets or wealthy families, and we don't rely on 401ks, mutual funds, or traditional real estate investing.
In fact, many of us don't even own the properties that fund our freedom. If you ask the money experts out there, they'd say what we do is impossible, yet it's happening every single day.
It's happening through a new niche called short-term rentals.
We are Short-Term Rental Nation, and these are our secrets.
What's going on, STR Nation? Before we get into this week's episode, I've got a very quick ask for you. So Ian and I are on a mission to grow this podcast to impact as many people as possible. In order to do that, we need more reviews from you. That helps the algorithm. It helps push it out to more people. So if you could take 20 seconds to leave us a review on whatever platform you listen to us on, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to the show, it would absolutely mean the world to us.
And as a thank you for your review, if you send us a screenshot of it to support at strsecrets.com, we're going to choose every week, we're going to choose a winner, and you're going to get either some swag from STR Secrets, or you're going to win a coaching call with myself or with Mike.
So again, thank you for being a loyal listener to the show and help us get the word out there. Truly appreciate you. Now, let's get into this week's episode. What's going on, STR Nation? Welcome back to another episode of the Short-Term Rental Secrets Podcast. I am your host, Mike Shogren, here as always with my main man and brother from another mother, Mr. Emmanuel Pani. What's up, E?
My brother. So good to see you, and I love seeing you so much that even though I spent 3 days with you just now, I do miss you already, and I wish I was still up there. We had such a good time. I maybe or may not have completely fallen in love with Boston.
You came at a good time.
Weather. Oh my God, dude, the weather was fantastic. Mike took me on a bunch of walks and it was just like the perfect days, the perfect weather. And I just missed living in a city. I like realized that like that kid in me that grew up in a city, getting to like just walk around everywhere and just enjoying life, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And it was so nice to just walk around and go to the restaurants. We had a bunch of dinner with the boardroom groups and just like being able to walk around and go grab coffee. And it just like, yeah. And Boston, especially where we do our event in the Boston Harbor, you just walk around. The architecture is insane. It's this like gorgeous mix of the old and the new. And I got a harbor facing room this time. And literally my journaling sessions in the morning with the sun rising.
Lights out.
And it just like, and it made me realize, right? Like, it's just like when you want to think about bigger things, just being in just an environment that like inspires you, right? Like even in terms of like just looking at the view and looking at the boats and everything else. So we had a great time. Super grateful. Yeah.
Yeah. Another fantastic boardroom event in the books.
Number five. Look at us.
It's my favorite events that we do. Again, it's a much smaller group. It's our highest level mastermind. And it's just selfishly, it's fun for me because everybody in there is doing really big deals and it's just a blast. So we're going to dive in. We're going to do a recap of some of the lessons that we learned, some of the lessons that some of the members learned that we thought would be valuable to share with you guys. If you want to learn more, and actually I put together a free training couple of weeks ago on what were my three biggest mistakes when I transitioned from STRs to boutique hotels. You can go to boardroom.strsecrets.com. So it's just one word, boardroom.strsecrets.com. You can check that out. And then if you want, you can learn more about the Boardroom Mastermind. We kicked it off with an awesome podcast that we recorded before the event, which was super cool, which will be coming out, I believe, next week. We interviewed Jay and Wendy Papazan. So Jay is the author or co-author with Gary Keller of The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, and The One Thing, which that book, man, it had such a huge impact on me and my journey. And The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, you know, that's probably the second book that I read after Rich Dad, Poor Dad that I was like, wow, there's a path. This is actually possible. So it was cool to to talk to them and get to share, you know, my story with them and, you know, tell them how much that book meant to me and how much both of those books like changed my life. And we had a really good podcast with them. So I'm excited for that to come out next week. We won't give you too many details because we want you to listen to it. It was really good. You'll get a lot of nuggets out of that. And then I kicked off the event. I did an hour presentation on how to build a portfolio that works for you. And I see people kind of get into this trap of I want to go huge and it's just all about getting doors. And then at a certain point, they start to get overwhelmed because they're adding a lot of properties. Maybe their systems aren't that tight. Maybe they're hiring the wrong people. And I broke down a framework that I've used for every business that I've started. And you'll hear more about it going forward. It's called the Casper method, right? So the first piece is getting clarity around what your goals are. And I like to specifically look at, I call it your perfect week. Like, what does your perfect week look like? Because the bucket list items are great. Everybody wants to go on certain trips or have nice cars or a nice house or everything else. Those things are fine. But if you look back on your life when you're, you know, 95 years old, it's really an accumulation of your average weeks. You know what I mean? And so how can you be super intentional with how you structure your weeks? And are you building a business that serves the lifestyle that you want to have? And are you intentional with that time, right? So it starts with clarity. Then it's all about acquisitions. How are you finding and acquiring these deals? Then it's all about building the right systems and processes to give you more time back and to create a consistent experience as you grow. Then it's all about getting the right people. Then it's empowering those people and elevating back into a CEO role. And then the last step is to reassess. So I like to reassess every quarter of like, okay, are things going in the right direction? Do I need to adjust anything? How does my week look? How's my calendar looking? What can I offload off my plate? What can I delegate? What should I focus more on? And so when you think about it, you know, that Casper acronym, it's easy to remember. Clarity, acquisition, systems, people, elevate, and reassess. And so we went deep on that and there were a lot of light bulbs that went off. And a lot of people came up to me after and they were like, you know, that was such a good framework to think through as you're building a portfolio or any business, quite frankly, of using that formula to really think through what is the ideal outcome that I want? And then how do I build it in a way that's scalable and sustainable and doesn't rely on my time and my hours to really drive it forward? You know, at the beginning, yeah, you're going to be driving a lot of it, but as you scale, you really want to refocus and think about how can I automate and then implement systems and people to run these operations so that I can focus on the vision and the culture and then doing things that I want to do with my time. So that one for me was a lot of fun because, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know my story at this point, but I didn't get into this whole real estate thing because I wanted to get super rich or wealthy or whatever. I wanted time freedom. I wanted financial freedom to do the things that I wanted to do with who I wanted. And not be stuck tied to a desk trading time for money for the rest of my life. And then we transitioned over to a gentleman that I had met years ago when I was transitioning into hotels, Earl Wasson, an OG in the space. He's been a commercial broker specifically on the boutique hotel side up in New England for over 40 years. He's done over 400 transactions. He knows pretty much everybody in the game. And we were working on a few deals together back in the day. None of those came to fruition, ironically, for a variety of reasons, but we've stayed in contact and I've always respected him because as a broker, like you want to get a commission, right? Like you're there to make money and obviously he's there to make money and to build his business and everything, but he was always very transparent with me and he always gave me very good, unbiased information to help me make decisions and to really understand the landscape of the market and the deals that I was looking at. And he broke down some pretty amazing nuggets for people on how to get their first deal, but also some strategies for how to negotiate and how to structure deals so that, you know, with interest rates the way they are right now, you have to start thinking a lot more creatively to get some of these deals to pencil. And he broke down, there's a lot more seller financing opportunities, which you and I have talked about for years at this point. But he talked about how a lot of his clients are structuring those deals where maybe they're actually paying a bit more than the asking price, but because they've negotiated some really favorable seller financing terms with lower interest rates, maybe longer amortizations, stretching out the balloon payments, where the numbers actually pencil at that point and it makes sense for both buyers. But the thing that he said that I had no idea about was how you structure the purchase price and how you allocate that between the actual building and the furniture and goodwill, right? Because it has a massive tax implication on the seller. And so the furniture and fixture gets taxed. And again, I don't want to get into the, I'm not a tax advisor, whatever, talk to your tax advisor, yeah. But it gets taxed at an ordinary income rate for the seller. So a lot of sellers don't want that in there. They'd rather have more of that towards a purchase price. But as a buyer, I want it in there because it accelerates my depreciation faster, right? So he gave a bunch of really good strategies on how to structure that. So it's a win-win for both sides. And he said that was the number one deal maker for him and for his clients over the last few years was how he structured the allocation of the purchase price in the transaction. And my mind was just like blown when he was walking through that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely that. He definitely really pushed on the seller financing component. And again, guys, like we've been talking about seller financing, but I think it's such a unique time now just because of the cycle of the baby boomers really wanting to retire. Because the seller financing thing, it's a thing that you talk about at all times in real estate. But the reality of the amount of mom and pop hotel motels that are available right now with baby boomers that are looking to retire. And if you're able to understand the location and you're able to understand the tax implications for them, which is pretty much like if you present it correctly, you can present yourself as the saving grace to somebody that didn't run a business properly or is not cash heavy of being like, look, I'm going to give you a retirement for the rest of your life. Because if you are, he gave an example of a lady that has now done seller financing on a 30-year and she's going to get $48,000 a month or $52,000 a month, was in that range. In 30 years, this lady is most likely dead or almost dead, right? And it's just like, it's like she's set for the rest of her life, right? So understanding that component of it was super interesting to me. Understanding also to, from his perspective, right, of like, who does he bring the deals to? And understanding how sometimes, he's like, look, sometimes I have specific people. Sometimes he also has his hands kind of tied. And he also understanding from your perspective as a buyer of a boutique hotel in creating a relationship with a broker is never taking anything personal. Because Mike could be like, look, why didn't you bring me that deal? And it's like, it just wasn't for you. Based on what I know about you, and based on what I know from the seller, because again, like he works for the seller as well. So it's like based on what I know from the seller, I knew you weren't the person for that deal, right? So in also having that level of respect for the person that you're working with and understanding that like, look, one, they're trying to make a commission, but two, especially with somebody like Earl. Earl started doing this in 1990. I was one in 1990. So if Earl says, jump over this
fucking table. Oh, he was doing it before, but he started his own shop in 1990.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Yeah. So if Earl tells me, E, jump over this table, he's going to jump over the table, whatever Earl says, right? And just the fact of like remaining humble in terms of the learning when somebody like that speaks to me is such an important thing. Another thing that was fascinating for me that he says is how the big chains are migrating away from the garden style two-story buildings because they just want more. They just want more floors. So it's like all the big chain places are getting rid of their two stories and they're going to 5, 6, 7, 8 floors just because for them, spreading the cost makes so much more sense across that. And I think that was a big aha moment for everybody in the room because as we're buying boutique hotels and a lot of us are going to the boutique space, I wasn't expecting it personally. It wasn't something that like I even remotely knew. And I think they touched about on is, do you want to become a flag hotel or not? And you really hit on the fact that it's like, if you're staying small, sub 100 units, and you're going to provide high quality, high nightly rate, low occupancy, he said, high nightly rate, low occupancy. So really concentrate on the RevPAR. It's like, you don't need to go flag. You just need to like create a great quality product, be unique, create great quality experience for your guests. And you're set. So I love them. We're going to have him on the show. I plan on being back up Mike's way sometime in May. Again, Earl is older, so we're not going to ask him to get a camera and a microphone. We're going to set up a show around him. But I'm really looking forward to bringing him on for you guys because it was a wealth of information for me. And the fact that he's been in Mike's life for so long, I know it's been a wealth of information for Mike as well. Also because we don't bring people to the boardroom or to any of our things, really. they're not absolute rock stars at what they do. And that man has forgotten more about real estate and hospitality than me and Mike know combined. Hands down.
Yeah. And then, so Earl went for, I don't know, hour and a half, did a bunch of Q&A, had a bunch of fun. He was loving it, by the way. He was living his best.
He had so much fun.
Yeah. He hung out with us at the welcome
old men laugh. Yeah.
He had
old men laugh.
He had 40 new friends by the time he even went on stage. So we had a lot of fun with Earl. And then we did some hot seats. So if you're not familiar with what hot seats are, when you're in a mastermind group, especially of this caliber of people that are, you know, seasoned and they're doing big things and they bring a level of expertise. Hot seats are basically, we asked all the members to come to the event with whatever their biggest challenge or whatever they were struggling with the most right now that was holding them back from, you know, reaching their goals or getting this deal or whatever it was. And we split everybody up into five different tables and we went through and everybody would share what their issue was. And then everybody else would have 15 minutes to give their 2 cents to help them get clarity around what their next step would be. And for me, it's always interesting because I always want to like bring in more speakers and do all this stuff. But everybody said after the last few times, you know, in the past, we'd only give them like 2 hours for this. We allocated 5 hours for hot seats. And I was like, man, it just feels like I could squeeze in so many more speakers. And everybody said that it was such a huge part of the event and they were super grateful for it. And some of the stuff that came out of that was amazing. You know, I know Gordon was struggling because he's got a very unique houseboat project, which is super cool and very profitable, but it needs, there's a long lead time and he's trying to figure out where he can dock it and all this stuff. But he also has a hotel on contract that one hotel is going to hit his financial goals. So, you know, we walked through that and how to prioritize and execute on those different things in the right order. So that gave him a lot of clarity. And that was selfishly for me, that was a fun conversation because it was a really cool project. And then, you know, another cool project, which was a hotel. So working through that with him was a lot of fun. I know one of the members, I won't mention names just for confidentiality, but I know she was raising some money for a hotel deal that she's owned for a bit and she wanted to do basically reposition this. And so I think she had, I don't know, 200 grand left in her raise and she filled that up at the event, which was super cool. So people partnering on deals, that was really cool to see. And I'm excited to see that project come to fruition. I know another member was working on finishing up their, I don't know if you'd call Spillway a resort. It's kind of like a resort that he built. It's really cool.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing project.
Yeah. So they,
I think he would call it a resort, right? Like it feels like one.
Yeah. It's really a really cool spot in Michigan. And he was talking about some of the, he's a developer and he has a lot of expertise around different tax credits that you can get. So I was like a sponge just soaking all that stuff up because it was some serious money involved and some huge tax savings. So it was fascinating conversation. There's a ton, man. I don't know if there were any others that really jumped out to you.
I wanna just bring up the fact of like I am so proud because again, like for me and Mike, it's been mostly a labor of love. And in terms of like we've seen some of these people from the mastermind coming into the boardroom and just seeing the level of what the standards have become across the room in terms of like as a community of hosts, what we accept and don't accept. And just the fact that we're creating a benchmark overall for this industry. And I'll give you an example. Somebody was talking about their VA and they're struggling with their VA team. And they're like, yeah, I mean, one of our KPIs is the fact that they have to answer guests within 8 to 10 minutes. And I was, me and Mike and Mike Riley were walking around the room giving feedback. And I was sitting at that table at that time. My mouth kind of dropped to the table, right? Because I'm like, what do you mean 8 to 10 minutes? And I looked across the table and everybody was kind of shocked. And we're like, Mike, so I go around the table. I'm like, what's everybody's response time? Our team has to be under 2 minutes, technically under 1 minute, right? And that was the standard across the room, across the table. And not from a place of like, you're making somebody feel bad, but you're just making somebody realize that like the standards, like the new normal has to be here. Because that's what's possible and that's what we are about as an industry. And especially within our mastermind, like I want people that are doing the fucking best they can and create the best business possible. And the best business possible is not an 8 minute response time to guests. That is never the best business. And so seeing that from a place of love in terms of like feedback or like how to get the VA better, how to track that better. But it was also this very gentle way of being like, yo, like this is unacceptable and you need to hold it because at the end of the day, it's your business and the bucket stops at you. So that gentle way of being like, dude, just level up your standards. Your standards are shit. And again, not for making fun of somebody or making you feel bad. It's just like,
well, when you realize that better. Like, oh, wow, everybody else is able to get their team to respond in under 2 minutes. My standards, 8 minutes. What do I need to do? How are you guys doing that? How are you?
You deserve better as a business owner. Because that when you connect it to, because that's where the conversation went, is when you connect it to your why. It's like, dude, having team members that don't hold up your standards hurts your family. End of the conversation, bro. Either level up, because this at the end of the day, if you're not thinking about it in the big picture, you might let it slide. But dude, the only person getting hurt by you letting things slide is you and your family. And long term, it's all the people that you now currently support that you won't be able to support when your business goes to shit because you have shitty standards, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So that was day one. That was a pretty packed day for day one. And then day two,
that was pretty good.
We had two workshops on day two, which were phenomenal. The first one was with Wendy and Jay Papazan. So they did a 3-hour workshop around the one thing. And I mean, we covered a lot more than just the one thing in those 3 hours, but there were so many nuggets that came out of that. And one of the things you and I were talking offline that stuck with both of us is they said that, 75% of the time that you'll spend with your kids happens before they're 18 years old, right? And my son's about to turn 8 and we've got a newborn who's 2 months old now. And it was such an interesting thing to reflect on of like, man, you really got to make it count. And it tied into my whole point before about the Casper method, about building a portfolio that works for you because I don't want to miss those moments and I don't want to have those regrets as I get older. So that one, I was just blown away by that. And the other thing that she said, Wendy specifically said, was at a certain point as you grow and you keep elevating your business and your portfolio, eventually it gets to a point where you end up having to get on a plane to hang out with your closest friends in your inner circle because, you know, there's a saying, it gets lonely at the top. It's not that it's lonely. It's just you may not be in an environment locally to you where people are operating at a high level, right? And I know we were talking to some of the folks, I won't mention names, but they live in some rural areas and they're doing some big projects and they're like, you know, my family doesn't get it. You know, some of my local friends are, you know, you can't talk shop with those types of people and you can't get effective feedback from those types of people. So when you get in a mastermind group like this with a lot of high level operators, like that becomes like your second family, right? And it sounds like, you know, whatever, lovey dovey, but it's true, man. Like these are people that I genuinely care about and I love spending time with because we're going after similar goals and not everybody understands that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, dude, that's been our truth. Like you and I have been friends now since 2015, 2016.
Yeah, 10 years.
24, yeah. And it's been through that. Like I've had to get my ass on a flight every time I've seen you. Every time. And I fly more because you don't like to fly as much. So I'm like, I'll come to you, no problems. You know what I mean? And it's just like, it's a reality, right? But it's also the understanding. And this is something that another speaker said, which we'll get into more of this stuff later, but the environment you're in carries a frequency. And so if as you're trying to level up your frequency, if you're not mindful, you are not ever going to be able to level it up to the level that you want it unless you're mindful of your environment. And the example that he gave us is the fact that you're a sponge. And he had told me this in the past, but like you're a sponge. And if you throw a sponge in a ball of water, full of chlorine, the sponge will absorb the water, but will absorb the chlorine as well because it has no choice because it's in the environment it's in. It doesn't matter that the sponge is like, I just want the water, I don't want the chlorine. It's not possible. So as you're leveling up yourself and you feel yourself, your vibrations going up and down, just check your environment and just make sure that your environment is not carrying a frequency that is going literally head to head with this new frequency you're trying to input or create or sustain in your life. Because if you do, there is no way for you to ever change, you know?
Yeah.
What
was the other stat that she threw out though about the 80-20 that you brought up?
Dude, Wendy talked about the 80-20 rule, which we all know, right? But when she was looking at it, from her business, and she was talking about specifically her real estate agent business. The first year that she made $1 million, she started looking at her business and she realized that she made $800,000 from 20% of activities that she was doing. So 20% of clients, 20% of activities. And then there was the other 80% that was making her just 20% of her money, so $200,000. And she had a moment where she realized that if she used that $200,000 to buy people or hire people to sustain her, she can stay more in her 20% and more easily get to her 80% and grow her 80% substantially more versus spending any time in that other side. And one of our students, which we love, Rashmi, asked her a very serious question. As a woman, where should I spend my time? Meaning, with the $200,000, do I hire a business person to help me on the business, or do I hire somebody to help me on the house? And what Wendy told her is, like, the first people I hired were all on the home front, because your kids don't care who cooks their meal. Your kids care that you're sitting next to them when they're eating it, right? And so in really owning that component of it, and again, Wendy and Jay talked about a lot of great things, also in terms of their schedule and how mindful they are of their schedule in terms of also cultivating things that are important for each other. So they know to the T, there have been, since they started tracking their stuff, they've been on 800 dates. It might feel a little weird to know exactly how many dates you've been on, but I fucking guarantee it, they have a better relationship than people that don't know how many dates they've been on with their spouse.
100%. 100%.
Right? It may feel weird, but at the same time, do you want to feel a little strange, or do you want to have a better marriage?
I loved how they did their, because I know, and one of the things I asked them to talk about specifically, because I know a lot of people struggle with this, and I've struggled with this. I'm definitely not perfect with this, but creating alignment with your spouse, right, around your goals and what the vision is for the future. So they spoke quite a bit about that, of their process for how they get in alignment on certain things and how they voice any, I don't want to say conflict, but any disagreements between, like, what I think is priority versus what you think is priority or what you think is important. And they gave a really good framework for that. It would take a lot longer than this podcast to really, like, dissect that, but I loved that.
It's on their show quite a bit. So you guys, if you want to get into that, you should listen to next week's show, because we definitely touch more on the couple side on that show.
Their workshop was amazing. They were awesome. Jay had another obligation, so he had to head out around like 4, but Wendy hung out with us for the night. We all went out to dinner and had a really good time. She's awesome. She's a really, really cool amazing person. And then we brought in Dave Conway, who's been my mindset coach for the last 4 years. You've been working with him for, I don't know, 3-4 months now. Yeah. He's changed my life dramatically. And he did a really cool
workshop. Yeah, I'm a lifer with him too right now.
He did a really cool workshop around your self-image. And if you were in Nashville, that was basically what my keynote was on at STR Wealth Conference this past year. Because to me, once I learned how to upgrade my self-image, everything else followed suit. And my business and my personal life went to a completely new level, because you can't outperform your self-image. It's just impossible. And if you dissect any super high-performing person or business, they have a strong self-image of what they think is possible for themselves. And so he dove in deep on how to basically rebuild that and how to think different. And how to rewire your subconscious mind to reprogram your self-image. And it was awesome. Again, I've been studying with him for 4 years and I always take stuff away. But one of the things that he said specifically that you and I were talking about offline is, you know, paradigms are basically like the limiting beliefs of your subconscious. And that's how you operate on autopilot. You know, it's basically your belief system. And he said that culture is the paradigm of your business, right? So whatever standards and beliefs you set for your business, that's going to regulate how everybody in your business operates. And man, when I really started focusing on culture, probably 2 years ago in the businesses, my life got way easier. And I, you know, the big complaint that I hear from most people when they start hiring people is they feel like a babysitter. When you get the culture right and you get the right people on the team and you empower those people, your life gets so much easier and you're not babysitting anymore. You're getting people in their flow and in their lane and you're letting them do their thing.
Yep. Also, because if you're babysitting people, it says a lot more about your level of leadership than it does about the people that you hired.
100%. 100%.
Right? Because again, like, you're the one that hired them and you're the one that trained them and you're the one that has the SOPs. Stop fucking blaming other people. Like, legit. Like, just stop it.
extreme right? ownership, man.
Because again, that is also part of your paradigm, right? Because if your paradigm is like, I haven't been able to elevate to CEO position because I never are able to find talent, you're creating that. You're sustaining the paradigm, right?
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, we could keep going, but we like to keep it nice and sweet. Again, I am deeply grateful for the fact that like this is something that I look at and I'm like, this is my job. Like, this is what my job. I come to Boston to have conversations like this and hang out with people like this and serve and love on people and learn. And this is how I make a living.
It's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah.
It's really,
I mean, this all day. Like, and my cool aura ring has been saying that I should be sleeping for the last couple of days. I feel so wired from this event. And it just goes to show you is your environment, right? Like, your environment can make you feel tired, or your environment can make you feel charged up, regardless of you sleeping or not. Again, I'm sleeping today because I'm feeling it.
We had some long days,
but at the same time, they were exciting. They were rewarding. They're based in service. They're based in love. And so if you create a business and a life that is based in service and love, living is in the giving. So if the more you continue to give, the bigger your life is going to get.
100%, man. 100%. So if you want to learn more about the boardroom, just go to boardroom.strsecrets.com. I've got a free, I kept it nice and tight. I think it's less than 10 minutes on some of the biggest mistakes that I made. And then you'll have an opportunity if you want to book a call with our team and learn more about the boardroom. But as always, appreciate all of our boardroom members. Love all those ladies and gents. It's always a pleasure. I always learn a ton myself, and I'm excited for the next one. So that is it for this week, ladies and gents. Hope you guys have an amazing week, and we will talk to you soon.
Hey, STR Nation, if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. And in the comments, let us know what topics you want us to cover on upcoming episodes, and we'll make sure to get that in the books for you. And if you really want to learn how to launch, automate, and scale your short-term rental business, if you want to go deeper, then check out our free masterclass at strsecrets.com.